All right, so what are angels? And where am I getting this information from? Because a lot of these books, a lot of talks you might hear, and they're telling you this, and they're telling you that, and your guardian angel can do this, and your guardian angel can do that. And a lot of times it's like, that's all, that sounds great, that sounds great. How do you know? So where do we get this information? Primarily from Scripture. So we're looking at Scripture, and then theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas, theologians like Pseudo-Dionysius, the Areopagite, are using human reason, what they know from Scripture, and what they know about nature, and what they know about essence, to make conclusions about angels. So what is an angel? An angel is a non-corporeal being. It is a pure spirit. What does that mean? That means that they do not have bodies. You and I, we have bodies. We are male and female. Angels don't have a gender. So sometimes people say, oh, my guardian angel, I named her Sally. Your guardian angel does not have a body. Your guardian angel does not have a gender. They are totally different creatures. It's kind of like I have a dog. A dog is a different creature from a human person. When I die, I don't become an angel. It's a totally different creature. It's like saying my dog died and now my dog is a human in heaven. That's kind of absurd, right? When we lose a loved one, a lot of times we do feel a sense of their presence because they are with us. If they're in heaven, they are saints in heaven. So we wouldn't say that they are angels in heaven. We'd say that they are saints in heaven. If you've lost a loved one and you've said, oh, my grandfather's my guardian angel, he's always by my side, it may very well be that your grandfather's at your side and praying for you and gives you a sense of their presence, but they're not your angel. So I wanted to make sure that that's clarified. So if they don't have bodies, do angels have wings? No, they don't have wings. Oh, our angels are babies. They're so beautiful. I always get the Hallmark cards and the babies, they're so cute and they're kissing each other. Well, I'm sorry, but your angel is not a baby. That's just the way they're drawn. Why would they be drawn as babies? Because they're pure spirit. Why would they be drawn with wings? Because they are able to transport very quickly from one place to another. Why are angels in the Old Testament often referred to as men? Big, strong, intimidating, powerful. So if, no offense women, but if my guardian angel's like, hi, I'm your guardian angel. And I'd be like, Lord, help me. I need a stronger one. Did you see that devil? And you brought me Barbie. Okay, so our guardian angels are often depicted in these images. Now, I said they don't have bodies. They are able to assume bodies because you might say, well, they don't have a body. Well, how did they appear to Tobias? Oh, they don't have a body. How did they appear to Mary? Was it just ghost, a mist or something? They can assume bodies, and we're going to talk about their assumption of bodies later on. So what else are they? They're an intellect. What does that mean? They're pure spirit, but they're made up of an intellect far superior to ours. Because they're pure spirit, they are the first of all of God's creation. Their substance is so far higher above ours. I say they're an intellect. I have an intellect too. All spiritual creatures have an intellect. So God created, if you were to like think of two circles, he created the world of the spirit, he created the material world, and the two intersect and this very special creature called the human person. So we are a mixture of spirit and body united. But our body is very limited. My intellect is very limited. In order for me to learn about trees, in order for me to learn about angels, I had to get these books and read and then flip the page back and say, oh man, what the heck did this guy just say? I don't understand a single thing he's talking about. If I'm going to go out and look at my automobile and find out what's wrong with my automobile, I have to look and I say, okay, well, that tube's connected. It's dripping something over there. That's not the way the angel's intellect works. The angel's intellect, as far as nature is concerned, they were infused with a complete knowledge of nature, a complete knowledge of the physical world. And not only that, but their intellect is so powerful that they can look at a tree. They don't have to study the tree. They look at the tree and know everything about the tree in an instant. It's like an automatic download. Download tree. Pew, I know everything about trees. That tree's got kind of sick. That tree's got some bugs. You need to get this chemical and that chemical to put in the tree. Also, the same thing. Oh, what's wrong with my automobile? Maybe you should pray to your guardian angel to tell you, because your guardian angel looks at your automobile and is like, hey, you got a loose gasket. Come on. That was only $15 at AutoZone. Okay. They understand everything about the physical world, and they give us insights. So the way they communicate is through illumination. So when another angel is talking to another angel, they don't necessarily use words. They just kind of illuminate the other angel's mind. And they do that with us. Sometimes we'll be thinking about something, or we'll have a problem, and we'll go to bed, or all of a sudden we'll be taking a shower, and it's like, when you're not even thinking about it, it's like, boom. The answer's there. It's like, how did that happen? It was an illumination. Now, are angels able to use voices? Yes, they're able to use voices. We'll talk about that in a moment. They don't have any knowledge of the future. So let's say a devil were to appear to you, which this happened a lot of times in the olden days, where people would go to the Greek gods, which were really false gods, which were really sometimes the manifestations of devils. And they'd say, I am the Greek god. And how do I know you're the Greek god? Because tomorrow somebody's going to come in on horseback and they will give you 50 barrels of wheat. And then the next day somebody would come in on horseback and they'd give you 50. Wow, that must be the Greek god. The Greek god of the wheat. But in reality, did that angel know the future, or did that angel see farther than we can see? The angel can see what's going on currently at other places and say, ah, there's somebody coming. I saw them. They packed up the wheat. They're going to Johnny's house. Okay, Johnny, guess what? This guy's going to give you wheat tomorrow. And you're like, wow, miracle. Right? No, so the angels have a lot of abilities that might make us think that they're capable of miracles. So they're not able to see into their future, but they are able to gain insights about us. Another thing they're not able to do is they're not able to read your heart, and they're not able to read your mind. So what does that mean? That means if you're thinking something, if you're thinking, I really am thinking about ending my life, oh, and you're going through this, they can't know what's going on inside of your mind. But what they do know is they do know your body language. They've been studying people their entire lives. The same way if you're thinking a lustful thought and your body goes through chemical changes, they don't have to go into your brain to know that you're thinking a lustful thought. They can just look at your body, the chemistry that's going on, and they can say, ah, lustful thought, let me give this guy a little bit more push. That's an example of, although not being able to read your mind, so attentive, so astute, they're able to read your body language. Just like some people hook up to a polygraph test and it's saying, oh, this person's lying. The same way the angels, they don't need a polygraph test. They just look at you and they know that you're lying. So now, because they're powerful intellects, they're not capable of misunderstanding something. When they make a decision, it's a decision forever. Their will is so strong and so powerful. So in the beginning, when they made a choice for God or against God, their will was irrevocable. They made a choice, I will not serve God. Sometimes there's exorcists who are punishing the devil, they're trying to get the devil out of a person. We'll talk more about this later. And they say, did you choose to go against God? Oh, I hate God. I don't want to do anything God says. Aren't you miserable? Aren't you suffering the torments of hell? Yeah, it stinks. This hurts so badly. I hate it. So do not change your mind. No, I would never change my mind. Why? Because their intellects were perfectly aware of what they were doing. And because they were perfectly aware, their will was set and set in stone, and they haven't changed their mind. So angels are pure spirits without bodies. What else? Powerful intellects beyond any of our imagination. What else? They have strong, powerful wills. What else? They have preternatural abilities, preternatural powers. So you and I have natural powers. I want this thing, I've got to bend over and pick it up and lug it on my shoulder, and I might fall over because of my corrupt body. So because angels have preternatural powers, it might look to us like they're working miracles, but in reality, angels and devils do not work miracles. They're not capable of working miracles. I know in some parts people say, well, the Antichrist will come and he will make it look like he's working miracles, and people are going to be so confused. Even the faithful are going to be deceived and led astray. Well, because they're not able to work miracles, but to us it might look like a miracle. So preternatural power will be like, here comes the bus. And I could never stop a bus, but the angel just goes like this, applying his intellect. He doesn't have any fingers, but in my little crazy mind, it's like, using my pinky, now stop the bus from hitting somebody. We can look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It's so burning. It's so fiery hot. And an angel appears. And you're like, he doesn't have a body. How can he shield them? Well, his preternatural abilities just kind of block off all of these natural consequences. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah prayed and said, Lord, we're going to get slaughtered. Please help us. And so it says that the angel of the Lord went and killed 185,000 people in one night. So this event was actually recorded historically by a historian named Josephus, and he records the same thing, that the Assyrians were attacking Jerusalem, and all of a sudden the entire army, all the generals, all the commanders died. But because he's a historian trying to find natural causes, he said that they died from microbacterial plague. So what happened? Did the angel of the Lord go over the 185,000 and get their necks and his wrists are starting to get sore, breaking all their necks? No, what did he do? He used microbacterial organisms and just went over them quickly and gave them all plague. Boom, dead, knocked out. No switching of anybody's neck. And so it looked to them like, oh my gosh, they just fell over dead. He sucked the life out of them. So they used their knowledge of nature, their knowledge of chemistry, their knowledge of biology to spread everybody out. And one more example of preternatural power that the angels have is Daniel in the lion's den. Well, not only did the angel come and block the lions from eating Daniel, but Daniel was hungry. But the angel, what did he do? The angel says, okay, Daniel, you're hungry. So the angel goes to the prophet Habakkuk. Imagine you're in your house, you know, cooking dinner for somebody, and then an angel appears to you and he's like, hey, you need to go all the way and travel to this small little town where there's a man in a lion's den and you need to give him some food. What? Who are you? It's like, just do what I tell you. I don't even know how to get there. So the angel, what did the angel do? Grabbed him by the hair, and in a flash, he was in the lion's den. He's like, okay, now drop the food down. Okay, here's the food. Hey, Daniel, here's the food. And then grabbed him the head. Okay, in an instant, he's back in his room. And then Daniel's probably like, what the heck is going on here? He's like, oh, well, he's like, just keep eating, right? So that's an example of preternatural ability. He's one place with the power of his intellect. He's transported to another place. Wow, this is very powerful. Wow, what am I worried about? I've got angels all around me.